الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين الحمد لله رب العالمين Respected brothers, ulama-i kiram, elders in Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has perfected for us our deen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for us the deen of Islam. This is that deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen now from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right up to the end of time. Every age, every era, every period, every single human being that will come on the face of the earth will have to follow this deen. And Allah Ta'ala has perfected it in such a manner that it can withstand the challenges of all times and all eras, in all periods. And it is so perfect that there is no flaws in it. We may not understand it, we may not be able to fathom it, we may not be able to give full expression to it, but the deen itself is perfect because Allah Ta'ala Himself mentions, Al-Yawma Akmaltu Lakum Deenakum. Today I have perfected for you your deen. And in it we have the rights of everyone mentioned, and we have all the hudud, the limitations, and the boundaries that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned for us, up to what boundaries we can go, what areas are prohibited for us. And we also have the hukuk, the rights of everyone. The rights of men, the rights of children, the rights of women, the rights of all are found. The rights of fathers, the rights of parents are all found in our deen. They are enshrined in the Quran and Hadith. That is why we don't have a woman's day. We don't have a father's day. We don't have a mother's day. Every day is a mother's day, and every day is a father's day, and every day is a woman's day, because those rights are enshrined there, and we have Muslims have to carry those rights out. We don't go by sentiments and emotions and highlight one day of the year as a woman's day, and everybody runs after a woman's day, fulfilling the rights of the woman. No. Every day is a woman's day. Why? Because their rights are enshrined in the Quran and the Hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At all times, we are bounded by this, and we ought to fulfill their rights. And when they talk about woman's day, sometimes makes the person wonder what woman they are talking about. What woman are they talking about? Are they talking about the woman of the days of Jahiliyyat? Then what rights can they give them? If they're talking about the woman of Islam, then Allah subhanahu and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has given them such rights in the Quran and Hadith, that no single denomination and deen can come near the rights and esteem and honor and dignity that they have afforded to the woman. And if they are talking about the woman of today, then what rights are there? Or what have they given that woman today? They have emptied her of all her virtues and virtually put her on the streets, and she has become tantamount to some other object like cars and things, etc. So which women are they talking about when they talk about women's rights? If you talk about the woman of the past, about the woman of the Jahiliyyat, then the pagan Arabian time, it was such that they had no right to even live. The people could not even tolerate their birth. They could not even tolerate their birth. And Allah Ta'ala mentions this in the Quran, that when they used to be given the glad tidings of a girl, then their faces should become filled with grief, dark with grief. They used to hide away from the people, min su'ima bushirabi, because of the evil news that they got that a daughter was born. And then they used to think and ponder, yumsiku ala hunin am yadussu fit turab. Should they retain that daughter and be disgraced in the community, or should they take that daughter and put her into the sand and bury her alive? Ala sa'a ma yahkumun. Allah Ta'ala thereafter, when he mentions the scenario, mentions how evil used to be their decision. Ala sa'a ma yahkumun. How evil it was for them not even to tolerate the birth of their daughters. This was the position of the pagan Arabs. They would not even tolerate the birth of the daughters at that time. And Allah Ta'ala mentions another verse of the Quran, وَإِذَا الْمَوْءُودَةُ سُئِلَتْ بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. In the day of judgment, when other things will happen, this child will also come and ask, بِأَيِّ ذَنْبٍ قُتِلَتْ. For what reason was I killed? For what reason was I not given the right to live in this world? This was a position in the pre-Arabian times. And we find in the pre-Arabian times, the woman had no status whatsoever in society. Some places mentioned that she was regarded as the gate of the devil. Some places she was regarded as a woman who had no soul. She had no soul. Some places regarded that she had no rights of possession. Some places mention that she herself used to be possessed. Like when a person dies and all his goods and all his wealth, etc., is distributed, the wife should also be distributed. The woman also used to be distributed like how goods and commodities are distributed. She had no rights of inheritance whatsoever, no position whatsoever in society. And what happened? The beautiful Deen of Islam came and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala installed and gave her rights that are enshrined in the Quran and Hadith. And from the beginning right to the end, we find that she has such dignity and such honor that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about giving people children, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first mentions the inatha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first mentions that he bestows to whomsoever he wants female issues. Then he mentions the males. Commentators mention here, this is also a point of fazilat and superiority and virtue of the woman over the men, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made mention her first before she mentioned the boy. The hadith we understand, Rasulullah tells us that woman whose first child is a female, then she is a blessed woman. She is a blessed woman whose child is a female. Here Rasulullah is telling us, and the commentators right there, that a mu'min should feel more happier when he gets a daughter than a son. Why? Because it goes against the pagan customs of the Arabian people of the pre-Islamic days. It goes against their customs, so he should be happier if he gets a daughter than getting a son. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, the living issues after him was his daughters. The lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam also moved with his Mubarak daughters. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's care and love for his daughters is such, is exemplary. Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha, it comes as Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha mentions in one lengthy hadith that I used to see Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha coming and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to stand up and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to take her hand. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to kiss her. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make her sit by her side. Some places make her sit by his place. This was the honor and respect that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam practically demonstrated to the ummah of the woman. Of a female issue, this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. That person, one hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, who gets two daughters and he brings them up to the age of puberty, and he will come on the day of judgment, me and him, ana wa huwa hakada. Imagine, me and him will be so close. That person who gets two daughters and brings them up till they reach the age of puberty, he will come on the day of judgment, he will be so close to me. Wa dhamma asabi'ahu, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam put his Mubarak fingers together and says, his position will be as close as this with me on the day of judgment. In another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says words to this effect, that person that gets a daughter and he looks after her, he looks after her and he cares for her and he does not discriminate, then inshallah he will enter into paradise. He will enter into paradise. On one occasion, one lady comes to Hazrat Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha and she comes to beg for something. But Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha says, I didn't have anything. I just had one piece of date and I gave it to her. When I gave it to her, she took that piece of date and she had two daughters with her. She took that date, she broke it into two, and she gave it to her two daughters. And she didn't take anything for herself. I mentioned this to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said words to this effect, that those people that go through trials and difficulties because of their daughters, and still they do good towards them. Otherwise, they have difficulty and hardship in bringing them up, and still they are kind towards them, they do good towards them, then kana sitran lahum, they will become a veil between them and the fire of Jahannam. They will become a veil between them and the fire of Jahannam if they do good towards their daughters. One place Rasulullah mentions about a widowed woman who does not marry and looks after the children. There Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there are more details in the hadith. Rasulullah also says, me and she will be like this so close on the day of judgment. To show the virtue of woman, here Islam teaches us practical lessons, not just by hearsay or not just words, but all these are enshrined in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this. So when their daughters are born, this is the position that Islam has given them. And when they become wives, then what happens? Then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that the best amongst you is the best amongst his wife towards his wife and children. And I am the best towards the wife and children. Practical example of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is the most best towards his wife and children. And from amongst you, the best amongst you is the one that is best towards his wife and children. The wife is mentioned here again. In the Quran Park, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intercedes on behalf of the wife. وَعَاشِرُهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَإِنْ كَرِهْتُمُهُنَّ فَعَسَىٰ أَنْ تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَيَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا كَسِيرًا. There's no details. Going to the details here, Allah ta'ala intercedes that live with them with kindness. If you find any weakness with them, then overlook that weakness. You may find some weakness in her, but there may be so much, plenty of good in that wife of yours. So here again we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also telling us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions another verse of the Holy Quran that they have rights like you have rights. وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Like they have, you have rights, they have rights also. They also have rights. At the time of Hajjatul Wida, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also mentions the rights of the wife. They have rights over you. You have to feed them, you have to look after them, etc. And as long as they're looking after their chests, etc., we should not oppress them, etc. These words are mentioned in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam regarding the wives. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the world itself, the whole entire world, as dunya kulluha mata, there are things that you can benefit from and take benefit from. Wa khayru mata'u dunya al-mar'atu salihah. But the best commodity of the world is what? Is that woman that is pious. Again, showing us the status of woman. That best commodity in the world is what? Al-mar'atu salihah. That woman that is pious, she is the best commodity. These are the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When it comes to becoming a mother or becoming parents, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has filled the Holy Quran in so many verses where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَوَسَّيْنَ الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدِي إِحْسَانًا وَسَّيْنَ الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدِي حُسْنًا وَسَّيْنَ الْإِنسَانَ بِوَالِدِي. That we have emphasized upon man that he should fulfill the rights of their parents. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions both the parents. If both the parents of one of them reach old age, then do not say one word of contempt against them. This is including the mother as well. Do not scold them. Speak kind words to them. And also become completely humble before them. And make dua for them. Oh Allah, have mercy upon them like how they had mercy upon me. Dua for the father and for the mother, who's the woman. Make dua for her as well. Some places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifically mentions, حَمَلَتُهُ وَحْنًا عَلَى وَحْنٍ كُرْهًا عَلَى كُرْهٍ حَمَلَتْهُ كُرْهًا وَوَضَعَتْهُ كُرْهًا. Yeah, Allah Ta'ala specifically mentions, when he mentions the parents, he mentions the mother, that she had picked him up, and she had picked him up hardship upon hardship. And hardship upon hardship she had carried the child. And she had borne him with hardship and trouble, and she had given birth to him in hardship and in trouble. Yeah, specifically mentioning the woman and the mother and the rights of the woman. On one occasion, one person comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and asks him, O Prophet of Allah, who has the most right as far as my good companionship is concerned? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ummuk, your mother. Then he asks again, who again thereafter, O Prophet of Allah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, your mother, Ummuk. For the third time he comes, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, Ummuk, your mother, she is most worthy of your good companionship and of your good care. Then on the fourth occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Abuk, your father. Three times preference is given here to the mother, was also a woman. These are the rights of woman in Islam. Here we find Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaching the ummah. Once Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sitting, it's mentioned that one lady came. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam took his chadar and placed it down, a shawl, and that lady sat on that shawl. And somebody asked him, who is this, O Prophet of Allah? He said, this is the mother that suckled me, that breastfed me, that suckled me. This is that mother of mine, Radai mother, like you tell her in Arabic. Another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us that what is the mother? What is the value of the mother? Who is the mother? Al-jannatu tahta ummahat al-aqdam. Al-jannatu tahta aqdam al-ummahat. Or kama qala al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that paradise lies under her feet. Paradise lies under her feet. This is the value. In some hadiths we find when the parents are asked, what are the rights of my parents? Some riwayat is mentioned, they are your jahannam or your jannat. They are your jannat or they are your jahannam. Otherwise, how you will care for them. So here we find the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rights of the daughters, rights of the wife, rights of the mothers. And if you look at it, the beauty of Islam is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has safeguarded them to such a degree that from the time they are born till the time they leave this dunya, they have no responsibility of caring for themselves and earning for themselves. All their expenses are either on their parents or either on the husbands or either on the children. Even if a woman gets married and she comes back to the family, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says what? Tells us in the hadith that your best charity is that daughter of yours that got married and her marriage could not last and she came back to you. To spend on her is the best charity. Encouraging us to look after her even after she gets married and her marriage fails and she comes back, then also we should look after her and support her. At every stage of her life, when she's a daughter, father has to look after her. The onus is on the father. She is a queen in the house. When she becomes a wife, the first duty of the husband is nafakatu wa sukna, that is the expenditure to provide shelter for her, clothing for her, meals for her, etc. And what happens when she becomes a mother, comes the responsibility of the children to look after her. Her expenditure is never on her own. Yet Islam gives her a right of inheritance, and she still gets wealth despite not even needing the wealth. This is the ihsan Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has made on the woman. He have showed us what are the rights of the woman. And we find Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the hadith are replete of kindness toward the woman, as I mentioned, whether it is the daughter, whether it is the wife, or whether it is the mother, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has showed us their rights. And as I mentioned, these are not only words, but Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has practically demonstrated this when it came to his daughter, when it came to his wife, when it came to here, he was too small, when his mother had passed away, when it came here to his mother that had breastfed him, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed that kindness and showed that love to that. That is why in Islam, a woman is the queen of the house. She sits in the house and she's saved. She's saved from all the hostilities and evil outside, all the things that may hurt her outside, may hurt her chastity, may hurt her honor and respect. She's all safe from there. She's sitting in the house. And she's the queen of the house. She's not being deprived. She's being safeguarded. She's not mahroom. She's mahfooz. She's safeguarded. She's safeguarded from all the evils that are there outside. She does not have to earn her own living. Why? Because the responsibility is not on her. Then she lives there with honor and respect and dignity. And she brings about a family. She brings about those individuals in the society that contribute to the society, that become leaders of the society, that become an asset to the society, while she lives in the home and the responsibility is there to look after her children. She becomes a means of peace and comfort to her husband who leaves the home. She becomes a means of serving her husband who, when he leaves his house, all his needs are fulfilled. When he comes back in the evening, a wife is waiting for him there, a loving wife, a yearning wife, a wife that's pining for him. When she comes back, he can feel the warmth of the home when he comes back to the home. This is a Muslim home, and this is a Muslim woman in Islam. And her purity and chastity is of such a degree that a person cannot even imagine any evil regarding her. Why? Because all the ahkam of parda are there. She has to stay within the confines of her home, and she's safe from the evil gazes of other people. For woman to look at woman, for woman to look at men, and men to look at woman, this is one of the worst things. In one gathering, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked the Sahaba, what is the best thing for a woman? Everybody remained quiet because there were only males there. They went back, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu went to Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha and asked her, what is the best thing for a woman? Hazrat Fatima radiallahu anha told Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu that she must not look at men and men must not look at her. He came back the next day and told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam liked this reply and said, Fatima is part of me. Fatima, bid'atu minni Fatima radiallahu anha, is part of me. In other words, the highest degree of chastity and purity here is recommended, that a woman does not look at men and men does not look at women. This is the Islamic woman who does not need woman's rights. This is not in woman's rights here. Why? Because Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given them. We have failed to understand our values. We have failed to understand what we have been given, the great treasure and the great ni'mat of Islam. But on the other hand, woman's rights are for who? Those people who throw away the chastity. Who throw away the chastity, think nothing about it. Those women who go out of their homes and say, we have to earn a living and we have to be there shoulder to shoulder with the men outside, no matter what happens. And as I mentioned, in the process, many women lose their chastity and purity. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created them such that when they intermingle with men, then you know what happens. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us so beautifully in one hadith, and when a person is sitting alone with a woman, and he's alone with the woman, he's isolated with the woman, then the third person there is shaitan. The third person is shaitan, the words of who? Of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who is divinely inspired in his words, who is divinely inspired in his actions, who is divinely inspired in his teachings. He knows what he's talking about. The Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the message came to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala via Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when a person leaves the confines of the home, when a woman leaves the confines of the home in the name of empowerment, in the name of emancipation, in the name of woman's rights, etc., what do we find? We find this is the first thing that takes place. We find that it's hard for them to look after their chastity. Secondly, we find that that home that was a nest, that was a safe haven for that woman, we find that home becomes ravaged now with what? All forms of evil. There's no control in that home. The children are not brought up in the proper manner. We find that manners of the children, those codes of living of the children are not there. Nobody to govern those children. Nobody to look after those children. Nobody to train those children. They have no more assets now. They become delinquents in the society. Nobody to monitor the actions. Nobody to teach their manners. One of the best gifts for them was what? The manners in the Muslim home. But the Muslim mother is not there. She's out working there. The absent parent syndrome is found. The parents are not there. And the children do whatever they want to do. The parents are out earning a living. So firstly, she loses her chastity in many cases. Secondly, find her homes become empty. And that warmth when that husband comes back home is not found because she is a working lady. She comes back like he comes back, tired and fatigued and exhausted, also looking for some shelter and comfort in the home. But to get it from whom? There's nobody there to give it to them. Both of them have the same needs. And what we find further, that half the time she has to paint herself with all different colors and go out because she has to mix with the men. And she's very conscious about her looks. She's very, very conscious about her looks. Sometimes a huge portion of the purse is gone, also in the same thing. And similarly, we find that this lady that goes out there, then the respect between husband and wife does not remain. That which Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, Ar-Rijal Qawwamuna ala Nisa, the Rijal, men are the safe, men are the guardians over the woman, is not there. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala mentions here two reasons. Because of the added virtue that Allah has given men over women, and because of the expenditure men spends with the woman, he supports her, he looks after her. She has become self-sufficient. She does not need the support of the husband. She has become free now. She does not need the comfort of the husband. She does not need the security and the cover of the husband because she has become free. And as I mentioned, that in the name of freedom, what happens? She loses her sanctity, she loses her chastity, she loses her modesty, inherent modesty that is found in a woman, she begins to lose that. How many women you find in the marketplace, look at the behavior. And if you look at their lives, if you look at them, they have been brought down to that level that they are not even treated with human dignity. We talk about human dignity, we talk about women's rights. Is this a woman's right? Is this respect to a woman? Is this maintaining the woman's rights? That for every commodity that you advertise there, there's a naked woman snap there. Whether it is a soap, whether it is a car you're selling, whether it is a magazine that you're selling, is this the respect you have for the woman? Is this the rights you give to the woman? Is this the honor and dignity for the woman? Is this the woman's day that we are celebrating for? No, we should wake up and open our eyes and see where we are going to. We don't need women's rights. We have the women's rights enshrined in the Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is the new era of jahiliyyah. This is the new era of jahiliyyah. The only difference is this, that the slogans here look very, very charming. The slogans and words that are used look very attractive and look very nice. And the words that are used look very nice. The phrases that are used here look very nice. But this jahiliyyah seems sometimes, these days of ignorance seems to be worse than the days of ignorance of the past. And no shame is left, not a vestige of shame is left in that woman that goes out and is rubbing shoulders with men day in and day out. And as I mentioned, if you look at the duties, that the duties she has to perform, which are her duties in the house, the same duties she feels degrading to her. But if she performs those same duties sitting in the airplane with 200 people, she performs the same duties working in a hotel, she performs the same duties working somewhere in a restaurant, then she feels dignified and she feels honored and she feels, now I have got freedom. This is not freedom. This is robbing her from her that position that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given her. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had given her, Islam had given her all these rights that you can never find in any other deen. Why? Because this is the most perfect deen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen for us. It's for us to realize this. It's for us to realize this and not fall for the slogans around us and say today is a woman's day and we celebrate the woman's day. As I mentioned, these days are every day in Islam. Woman's day and the father's day and the mother's day, because their rights are enshrined and we are under obligation to fulfill their rights at all times under all circumstances. Yes, I agree, there may be people who do not fulfill the rights of the woman, but that does not mean that Islam does not fulfill the rights of the woman, or Islam does not show the rights of the woman. As I mentioned, if you look in the kitabs, the whole one surah, and surah to Nisa is in the Holy Quran. One whole surah mentioned the name of Nikah, mentioned the Holy Quran, revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where her rights are mentioned. And in so many verses of the Holy Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions their rights as well. Who you can marry, who you can't marry, how they should be treated, etc., and what you should do regarding their marriage, etc., how many women you can marry and when you can marry and what are the conditions, all the details I mentioned, the parda regulations I mentioned in detail in the Holy Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq to value this mubarak deen that Allah ta'ala has given us. Firstly, to understand the deen, to study the deen of Islam. What are the beauties that are in the deen of Islam? When a person is bereft and empty of the real moral, of the moral values that he has, and of the real ideals that he ought to have, when he's empty of that, then he falls prey for everything around him. But if a person knows the values of deen, he knows the chastity and purity of Islam, he knows the high value system of Islam, he knows the rights that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accorded, and I follow to every person, whether it is male, female, whether it is the elders, whether it is the juniors, whether it is the seniors, etc. And everybody that Allah Ta'ala has given rights, in Allah a'ta kulla zi haqqin haqqa. Allah Ta'ala has given to every person that has any rights, Allah Ta'ala has given them the due rights. Allah Ta'ala has granted it to them. So Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala give me all of us the tawfiq to understand our beautiful deen and to practice our deen and to portray our deen. It reminds me, I never thought of this, what I'm going to tell you now, but it reminds me of something that happened once with Colonel Amiruddin Rahmatullah Alayh. It's mentioned that once he was somewhere in Europe, and you all know his nature, Allah Ta'ala filled his khabar with noor. He was a colonel after all. And the people who have a profession, I noticed those ethics and principles of the profession doesn't leave them no matter what they became. He had become a very, very big muballigh in America. Had become a very, very big muballigh in America and Canada. He mentioned he was standing, I think, somewhere in England or somewhere in Europe, and he was sitting with his woman folk there, and they had parda. They had the parda with them. And some woman folk went by. Some non-Muslim woman walked by, and they told him, "What is wrong with this woman? Are this woman sick? Are this woman sick? They covered like that." He's mentioned Colonel Sam called them and made them sit down. And after he finished with them, they read the Kalima Shahada. Why? Because they did not know what is the parda. They did not know what it signifies. They began to mock and jeer at it. But when he opened their eyes and he showed them the reality, then they said, "We also want to accept parda." And he said, "Kalima, as you read the Kalima Shahada, and accepted the fall of Islam." So it is our duty, firstly, to understand our deen, then to practice our deen, then to propagate our deen, and not for our deen to be misunderstood by the people, but we should explain to them if we don't know what our deen is. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah.